Sometimes I feel like my only friend is the city I live in. It's beautiful Brooklyn.
Know where you're going, but don't know how to get there? You found the rabbit hole, Alice. From free bars to apartment hunting and sending out your demo, he's here to make sure you don't break the bank. Welcome to the Starving Artist Podcast with your host, Johnny Sanford.
Okay. Welcome back for the second installment of the Starving Artist Podcast. I am your host, Johnny Sanford. Today we've got a great show. We're going to have an interview with Mr. Sean Keneally, a wonderful singer-songwriter slash writer slash playwright. He's got a huge, huge influence on my work. He co-wrote the Big Nothing's first album in 2006. Huge force in the upcoming starving artist scene, if you will, in New York City. That'll be coming up in about 10 minutes. And we're also going to talk a little about how to make your own CDs. We're going to get to that afterwards. Let's see. Let's get into a little of the things that I've been doing lately. I've been trying to do a weekly podcast, and as you can hear, I'm doing it right now. Been having a little trouble with it. Not the recording part. I'm pretty good with that, but actually getting it up on the internet, publishing it. Let's go over that a little bit. All you need is a good mic, and you can get one of those at your local Radio Shack. The first mic I had was, I think, probably about $30. That's about all you're going to have to pay for materials. You're also going to need a software program online. Program that I'm using to record this is called Acid Pro 6.0. It's not really used for recording per se, but it's easy, very easy to use. And I find that, I don't know, it's intuitive. You can also get something like Logic if you have a Mac. You can get Pro Tools. These are all pretty expensive, though. If you're looking to keep it pretty cheap, just head on over to download.com. You can get some pretty cheap audio programs. Some computers these days probably come with them. I'm not sure. I have XP. But you can get a $20, $30 program, and usually you get a 14 days or a month free as a trial. And you can try it out before you buy it. But they'll be about $30 too. So after you record it, such as I'm doing right now, you're going to want to compress it into an MP3. Probably about 32 to 96 kbps. That's the compression rate. 64 is what I do it at. It's going to sound pretty much like any FM radio station. Then you're going to publish it. This is where I've been having trouble. I've been using rmedia.org. They will allow you to upload any number of things, and they'll put it in on archives.org. You can also directly upload it to archives.org, which is a U.S. government library for the internet. Then you're gonna just place it in. Take the HTML text and just place it in a text box in your newest blog. And I'm still working on getting mine on iTunes. I will do an update next week. Hopefully, I'll have figured out how to put it on iTunes so that people can subscribe to it. So stay tuned. I will get back to you on that. You can find some more intricate podcast instructions on my website, starvingartistsguide.com. That's artists, plural. So let's go into the interview that I did with Mr. Sean Keneally. I recorded it yesterday, and it went pretty well. So he goes everywhere from his music, his writing, how he got down here to New York City in the first place, and he goes into some pretty good instructions on how to get an apartment so that you can come down here without necessarily having to sign a lease, which is always good, because if you come down here and you don't know anyone, there's no point in signing a lease that's going to make you stay somewhere you don't love for a year or more. So let's head directly into that right after this song. All right, come back to us.
Love you.
All right, let's turn the reverb off, or at least down. Here we go. Okay, so in studio today, we have the magical, mystical Sean Keneally. Say hello.
I'd like to start by putting a spell on you. No, I'm not magical, but thank you for having me, John. This is great.
It is great. Thank you for coming into your own room and doing this.
Of course. It was a long journey from the living room. It's snowing out.
Huge journey, Sean. Huge journey. I actually was commented by Nick on my Facebook that I don't speak with the spark that I normally have. I don't know what that means. I guess I speak with a spark. Would you agree?
But I think you command attention, if that is what a spark means.
Well, I recorded the first one at 2 a.m.
Okay.
On Sunday evening, and he was upset, I guess, that...
With the recording, how it turned out, your voice?
With my voice.
Your voice, oh.
He said it was too monotone, so I'm going to try to keep it chipper.
Okay, well, drink your water.
I'm going to drink a nice sip of water. Mm.
Better?
Straight from the sewers.
That'll start a spark or something.
Okay. So, let's go over a little bit about you, since you are my guest today. You graduated from Purchase College as a dramatic writer, correct?
That is correct. I graduated in May 2007 with a degree in playwriting and screenwriting.
That's a beautiful
thing. So I was trained to write movies and plays.
So, what have you... You've had a couple things on or around Broadway already.
Okay.
You've been in a couple festivals. You were in... What was the festival? Frigid Festival last year? Or?
Yeah, and the Strawberry Festival.
Frigid and Strawberry Fest. So, you are getting things done at an alarming rate. Right now, you're working on a book.
It's true.
I don't know if you want to get into that. It's this fine. Will be going
all viral.
Through the recesses and of New York City. Okay. And hopefully, probably the world. I know that Nick lives in Korea, so people in Korea are hearing it.
So I won't give away any too many treasures.
Okay, yeah. I mean, do you want to give off the name of the... no. Do you want to?
Sure. When the questions arise, I will give the answers, if that works.
What is the name of your... what is the tentative title of your novel in progress?
My novel in progress is called The Herbert Manifesto.
That's a very intriguing title. And I can't wait to read it, frankly. Get me a first draft.
I'll do my best.
Okay. Let's go over your musical career, because not only you're moonlighting, kind of have this Bruce Wayne / Batman thing. I do the same thing. We're both trying to branch out, get our tendrils out there. So you're also a musician. Let's go over that. Well, since this is the second podcast, people don't know. Me and Sean used to be in a band together. We were in a band called Solace, starting in ninth grade, right?
Yeah.
Ninth grade. So we've been musicians for quite some time. He's been doing his own solo work as well. Let's go over...
Okay.
We also... Well, let's go over the Big Nothing album.
Okay.
And we're going to play a track off that. Which track do you want to play?
Oh, geez.
Of yours.
Of mine. Alive, or...?
From that first album.
Hmm.
From the Big Nothing album.
Why don't we do Old Lady?
Old Lady it is. All right, guys, we'll be back in 3 minutes about.
Yeah.
And we will see you on the other side.
Let me see you at the age of 4. Little girl drawing pictures in the sand. Let me want you at 92. And no lady pretty you could zap. Just want for me to be your first kiss. And I just want for you to be my last. What you gonna be at 41? A businesswoman in a dark blue business suit. Who you gonna love at 33? Hope it's cute, hope it's all to remind you of me. Where you gonna live at 65? By a beach, by a bright blue pretty sky. Let me kiss you at 92. No lady pretty you. Hey there, would you come for me? Cause I would come for you. Until you were an old lady. Hey there, would you come for me? Cause I would come for you. Until you were an old lady. Let me walk into your photographs. See you eating at a messy high blue chair. Let me watch you at the age of 12. A preteen screaming, none of this is fair. Where you gonna be later tonight? I'll be here writing a song for you. Where you gonna be at 92? No lady pretty you. Cause I just want for me to be your first kiss. And I just want for you to be my last. Cause I just want for me to be your first love. And I just want for you to be my last. Hey there, would you come for me? Cause I would come for you. Until you are an old lady. Hey there, would you come for me? Cause I would come for you. Until you are an old lady. Hey, you wanna share the world with me? Wanna hold my hand? You wanna grow old with me? Hey, you wanna share the world with me? Wanna hold my hand? Wanna grow old with me?
That's a great track. I love that. it's a beautiful track. I helped out with that.
He did.
That Glockenspiel is all me. But so let's get into your role as a starving artist. You moved down in New York City at or around the same time as I did.
Yeah, sure. I graduated, as I said, 2007. I had really no desire to move back home. Then again, I didn't really have the funds to live anywhere else but home. So I took a path that I think served me pretty well, is where you sublet, which means you don't actually live anywhere or you don't own anything, but you're just kind of staying in someone's house without them being there for a little bit of time. And I highly recommend it, especially during the summer. Lots of people go away, a lot of kids that go to school here out of town, and also families that just want to get away from New York City on the summer. So me and a few college friends stayed in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, the months of May, June, July, and August, June, July, and August. And it was good. It kind of gave me a 3-month period to, one, see if I liked the city, two, give me the chance to possibly find some sort of gig to support me to stay there longer than just the summer. And three, it was the summertime, you know? It was fun. I just graduated, but I wasn't ready to completely go into the workforce. So it was a nice transitional period between school and sort of growing up, I guess. I don't know. You were there.
That's a great recommendation. Can we go into a little bit about how you found out about subletting and how you ended up getting the room?
Sure, definitely. I mean, anyone that's coming down to New York or any city for that matter, I mean, Craigslist, it's good. It's creepy. Things can go wrong on it. But
Craigslist.com.
Things can go right on it, too. And I've had pretty decent luck on it. I've found one of my most current roommates on Craigslist. Everywhere I've lived in New York has been through Craigslist. It's kind of brought me into some interesting situations, but I don't know. It worked out in the
end. Yeah, not to mention it's free.
And it's, yeah, there you go. So there's nothing like you have to, you don't have to give any credit card numbers. And as a starving artist,
it's a beautiful thing. Do you want to go into the story?
I think I know where you're going, and I would love to.
If you want to, it's kind of a funny little segue.
Well, as I said, I moved to New York for the first 3 months, June to August, and once my sublet was over, you know, I had to make that daunting decision of, did I want to go home? I was here for 3 months, blah, 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 what do I want to do? And I had found a job over the summer that supported me enough to stay down. Granted, I would have to find a place to live that was very cheap, but it was possible. So I went down the Craigslist path, and this may be a horror story to some, but to me, I think it's a funny story. And so,
myself and yourself.
Yes, myself and Mr. Johnny Money. We found a place in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, in a very nice two-bedroom apartment. And this may be discouraging to quite a few people, but I'm going to recommend sharing rooms when you move to New York if you don't have a lot of money. It's very similar to college lifestyle living. If you have a friend, it's really not that big of a deal. I mean, drama can come of it, I suppose, but drama can come from not sharing rooms with your roommates. So I think if you're the right person for it, I'd highly recommend it. I mean, myself and John have...
It splits the rent halfway.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
And, you know, in any situation, especially as a starving artist, it will help you immensely to have that extra income.
Definitely.
Especially if you're working a minimum wage job. But yeah. What you didn't mention was also the fact that the third roommate was a 60-year-old Asian woman. She was a delight.
She was a gem. She's an angel.
A delight. Yeah.
But she was a 60-year-old Asian woman.
There's too many stories to go along with this. It's almost like you live in a comic book or some type of
bad
surreal. It's like the surreal house or
yeah, the surreal life.
The surreal life. And, on VH1.
I guess a good way I kind of describe it is like, it was sort of like living with a very anal grandmother, but you didn't love her because she wasn't your grandmother, so all the quirks that you forgive your grandmother for, you didn't forgive this woman for.
Who knows? She's a starving artist as well. She may actually end up listening to this. That would be hilarious.
God bless her.
One of the beautiful things that she left us was a poster that says love.
It was.
And
just by my bed.
Sean bought an original piece of artwork.
Yes. She was a She did paintings of presidents, kind of Andy Warhol-esque, I suppose.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think they're great, so I supported her.
So it's Ronald Reagan, age 17.
Yes, in a lifeguard.
In a lifeguard uniform.
Yes.
Which is hilarious. Okay, so what are your current aspirations?
Sure. Definitely.
You know, since this is going out, and who knows, listen, you might as well plug a few things that you have.
Definitely. I mean,
coming up.
Went to school for writing. I always kind of consider myself a musician as well. So I think music and writing I'd like to think my calling, so I've been trying to pursue those as much as I can since my time in New York City. I don't know. I think a great thing to do with any type of art is find people you like doing it with. Even if you never put things up together, just having someone to say, hey, man, read this script, or hey, do a reading of my play. I've asked John to read so many of my things, and just that input, or just having someone that, I mean, it's discouraging to play music by yourself or write by yourself, and it's rewarding in its own way, but at the same time, until you share it with someone, it collects dust, in my opinion. So if you can find a network, even if they're just your friends.
Or Craigslist.
Or Craigslist, you know what?
You could probably do it there.
But I've been spending most of my time, a lot of writing. I'm working on a novel. I'm usually working on a script. I've, since moving to New York, I've completed about 3 full-length screenplays. John's read, I believe, at least one of them.
Yeah.
And
the dumps, and it's incredible.
Oh, thank you. But, I think it's great to have your friends read your stuff. I'm going to talk about, I guess, about writing, but, I think it's great. There's so many things in New York. I mean, just type in writing contests or festivals, and, I mean, you'll just find so much information about places to put your work up. I mean, there's so many writing groups to join. Some have a fee, some are free. I recommend the free ones. I have a few friends that are in fiction writing groups. I think it's great. I mean, you get together once a week at a bar, you trade your work, and then you talk about it. Having that dialogue is, I think, very helpful to any artist. And, I mean, I think it's being a sculptor, being a musician, being a writer. I think people that are pursuing art, I mean, maybe they're introverted, but we do art for a reason, and I think sharing it is very important. I'm speaking for myself, of course, but I think sharing it at this level of being a starving artist is very important.
It's the introverted extrovert.
Yes.
I think every writer is that way. Mm-hmm. And like I said, if you don't get invited to these things... You know, I was just saying this in the hall, in the kitchen. If you're not invited to it, you know, if you're not invited to the party, start your own.
Yeah.
A lot of art and the whole scene, it doesn't come from sitting on your couch. You gotta, you know, try to network, try to get people listening to what you have to say.
Definitely. And just kind of going back for like the, suppose you are. I'm going to speak, I mean, a lot of New Yorkers, a lot of people moving to New York are trying to pursue playwriting. I mean, you kind of go through, I went through the struggle of applying to things, you get rejected, you keep sending out, it's discouraging. But here in New York, I mean, the beautiful thing about this city is if you have a play and you have some friends, you put it up, and it's as simple as that. It may cost a little bit of money, but if you get 3 people together, you could have a reading of one of your plays. I mean, you're not spending more than $60 for a 3-hour block.
Do you want to go into how you kind of found those things?
Yeah, sure, definitely. On the internet, NewYorkTheaterSpaces.org, I believe, or something along those lines. Just type in New York Theater Spaces in any web browser, and
Google.
You'll find a whole sorts of listings for places to rent studio spaces out. I mean, it's great. Like I said, it's discouraging sometimes to not have someone else put your work up, but it's very feasible to produce your own work. At a small level, at least, and it's amazing.
And it's
how you
fun.
Meet through it. And it's fun, and you learn a lot.
I've been the barkeep at a couple of them,
and I think, you understand a lot about the process by doing it yourself, as opposed to hoping one day someone will do it for you. Same with music. I mean, it's you record yourself. I mean, you can't wait always for a record label to bang on your door and say, we want to bring you into a professional studio. So save up a little bit of cash, really not that much, and you can have a decent home recording studio and
right
you can
now,
record
your
album. As John
right now,
of.
We're recording on a $250 MR8.
Fostex Fever.
The Fostex. And you can get that probably even cheaper now.
Yeah, and you know what? It'll do the job, and I don't know. You can wait for someone to record your album or put your play up sometimes. And if you have the initiative, I say go for it.
And these people who are coming up in this age, when we were in 9th grade trying to record our own stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, this sounds
we
like...
used headphones. On
we used headphones
like a
through
Maybach.
A 4-track.
Yeah.
No, remember the first thing? It was a 4-track Tascam on a cassette.
Yeah.
It was
raw.
Budget. So. Budget. And I still have those tapes, though. And one day, they will see the light of day. One day, they'll be worth millions of dollars. Show the Outcast was the name of the first single. And we thought we were going places. Still fun to think about, though. I mean, our goals haven't changed. That's one beautiful thing about being an artist. We still want to rule the world.
Mm-hmm.
We still want to tour.
Mm-hmm.
Only we're much more realistic about it these days.
Don't get too realistic, though. I mean, if you get too realistic, then you'll just stop.
Well, being realistic is actually trying to book shows.
Yeah.
And what's funny is we were realistic then, too, and we got more people to those solo shows
mm-hmm.
than we've got, either of us have gotten down here. But we're starting at such a different, it's, this is the Atlantic Ocean compared to being in a goldfish bowl.
It's just, you know, it's one of those things where, like, I went to school and I had a business of writing class, and we had a teacher come in and everyone's like, what do I do when I graduate? How do I sell my script? How do I get my stuff out there? What do I do? It's like, how do I make it as a writer? And I remember somebody raised his hand and he goes, what type of dog should I get? Because all he just wanted to do was be happy after he graduated. And I remember my teacher was kind of thought he was a smart ass, but he was right. I mean, there isn't an answer to make it. I mean, if someone says there's a clear cut path, then, I mean, become very good friends with them, because I don't know the answer and no one I've met has that answer. I think it's just getting out there, applying to things constantly, putting your own stuff up if you can, and you're just going to meet people along the path, and then you'll meet someone else from that person. And I feel like, I mean, you know, it's stupid, but you got to be in it to win it. And I mean, that's the real answer, I feel.
I agree wholeheartedly. So that would be pretty much your advice to someone who moved. Give me a haiku on what you would say to someone who wants to move to the city, but maybe doesn't have the cajones to do so.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, I'll give two scenarios, I suppose. I mean, if you're going to be that ballsy, you're not going to know anyone in the city, but you're still going to come down. I say, you know what, man, do it. I mean, it's encouraging to have friends here, and it's scary to move somewhere if you don't have any, but there's so many ways to meet people in this city coming down by yourself. So even if you don't have a network, I'd say do it. And my advice to any artist coming down here, I guess, like, do your best to just kind of, like, make it a home for yourself, or, like, just feel comfortable here, you know? It's a very overwhelming city, but until this place feels like something that you can kind of, until maybe this is a place that you like enough to inspire you, then it's going to be hard for you to create art here, you know?
Like, it's very true.
I would have trouble creating something if I was in a place I hated. So before you can even worry about your art, kind of, like, just be here and, like, explore the city, you know, let it inspire you. Like, take a moment to go see shows before you try to book shows yourself. Take a moment to go see plays before you even start writing, you know? Like, the city has a lot to offer in that respect.
And absorb it.
Absorb it before you even try to do it, I feel. And then from there, when you're ready, go for it, you know? And, I don't know, there's so many meetup groups you can do. There's yoga, there's book clubs, there's any type of hobby you have. You can find a bunch of dorks that meet up and talk about it one night a week. And it's a start to making a lot of friends.
I agree. And at some point, your art, your music is going to take control of you, I feel. And I feel this has happened to both of us. And that's, I feel you start hitting a stride where you, once you're done with the show, it's like, even before you're done with the show, it's like, all right, time to try to get the next one. Mm-hmm. How do I get that next one? Who do I have to talk to? Whose ass do I have to kiss, basically?
But I mean, all right, so you book your first show, simple as this. First of all, I mean, talk to the guy that booked him. Thank him. I mean, like, ask, if it went well, of course, ask, is there another slot I can play? Maybe this time a weekend show, maybe a better time slot. You know what, man? If you play the set with a few other bands, introduce yourself to the bands. I mean, assuming they didn't suck and, like, they weren't dicks, go talk to them. Give them your demo. Ask if they have any shows coming up. Ask if possibly they needed an opener. Go play that gig. Then ask the other bands the same questions. Meet the promoter. Just keep talking to people.
That's,
you know,
networking.
I don't want it to say, like, be a whore, but, like, it's a way to, I mean, I kind of think of it as, like, we're all in the same game, you know? Like, these aren't, I mean, it's your competition, but everyone has, like, the same goal. So just become friends with them. You'll make friends. You'll meet interesting people, and it'll help you in the end, I feel.
Yeah. And have a business card.
Yeah,
exactly. Everyone should have a business card.
Or a demo or something.
Or a demo. I mean, you should have demos on you at all time if you're a musician. If you're, or I've seen people who have demo business cards. I've seen that. I think it's cheesy, but maybe it works. I don't know. I've seen it. It's kind of funny. It's just like a two song demo that's shaped like a business card. All right. So we reached the 20-minute mark. Now, you said you have a song that you are willing to play?
Of course.
In studio.
In studio, live.
Live. So, let me, well, I think it'll get it on that. And
okay.
We can just edit this fucking part out.
Shall I?
Yeah.
All right, this is a song that I wrote sort of about being down about life, and I don't know if this came of it, but it's very happy, so I hope you enjoy and it makes you happy.
Are green and the skies without a single spot of gloomy gray, just a bright blue sky on a breezy day. And thank God my head is clear. Instead of stressing, I'm drinking beer and I'm making angels in the grass, smoking grass with a group of angels again. Smoking grass with a group of angels again. Let me give you a piece of advice. A priest once told me that Jesus Christ was just a fellow with a beard and robe. So grow out your hair and stop wearing clothes, 'cause it'd be nice if we all just drank wine. Instead of the news, we'd watch an hour of rhyming, rapping, tapping, news reports. There'd be no woe, there'd be no coats again. I know I've been down before. She sailed away from the bottom of me. I know I've been down before. She sailed away from the bottom of me. Away from the bottom of me. Hate how I keep moving faster, just filling up my days till the next disaster. Or I can find some work, say that I love it, Neil Young hand, or I take your job and shove it. 'Cause either way the world still goes round. You can dress in a suit, you can dress like a clown. The sun will still set, the moon will still rise. Just do what you can, see you laughing when you die, my friend. I know I've been down before. She sailed away from the bottom of me. I know I've been down before. She sailed away from the bottom of me. Away from the bottom of me. From the bottom of me.
All right, thank you, Sean. That was a beautiful song.
Thanks.
What's the title of that?
Bottom. Bottom.
The bottom. Now, do you have any plans to do an EP or LP anytime soon?
Yeah, I do. I kind of go through recording in spurts where I'll record possibly 15 songs within a week or two.
I've seen that.
It's silly. It's probably not the best way to record, which is kind of how I do it, but
everyone has a different process.
Everyone has a different process. Kind of like, going back to the joys of Craigslist, there are many ways of having people help you do recording that are possibly a little more professional than your equipment. And I've had the good fortune, John and I record in a place in Brooklyn with a guy that recorded about $20-25 an hour, but a very good home setup. So one of my tentative plans is to save up a little bit and hopefully record an EP with him, because the things I do is just very quick and a little rushed, I feel, but I'd really like to take the time to record a demo with something a little more professional. So yes.
Cool. We will have you back on when that day comes.
Okay.
And you can unplug it.
Okay.
And then hopefully it'll be available via the iTunes,
yeah,
Amazon,
something like
stuff.
That.
always a good thing to make yourself available commercially via those. Basically, you can do it a number of ways, but the easiest is cdbaby.org, and they will send you checks in the mail, and they're nice to get. Okay, so let's go into your new hobby of winemaking.
Okay.
You said that you've read a book about it.
I have.
What can you share? Is it cost-effective? And maybe I'll go into beer making after you're done.
Well, I love alcohol. Moderation is key. Let's make a note of that. But
social lubricant.
I love liquid courage. I love wine.
You're a wine man.
I've always loved it. And recently, I was given a wine kit for Christmas, and which is fun. It's cool gift. But I was it felt kind of like the Sears way of making wine, like very kind of like I don't know, not very, I wasn't really learning anything, but I kind of liked the idea of doing it. So I bought a book, and what I've learned thus far is that it is a very cost-effective thing if you enjoy wine, or I can't speak for beer making, but if you do like making wine, bring it yourself, or making yourself is, I think, a great thing. The only thing that does cost money is the initial cost of getting, like, maybe 2 buckets, a clear plastic tube. And from there, all you need is water, sugar, and yeast. And you can get packs of yeast for about 50 cents a pop. I haven't bought sugar in quite a bit. From my understanding, it's not that expensive. And you can get your water from your wonderful sink. So basically, within 2 months, spending a little bit of money on sugar, the 50 cents on the yeast, and assuming you already initially have your buckets, you can have about 5 gallons of wine, which I think equals out to about 4 bottles a gallon. So, yeah, 20 bottles of wine.
That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty awesome. So consider 20 bottles of wine. Yeah, so even with the cost of the buckets, it's and assuming you do it more than once, it's definitely worth your time and effort. And it's fun. So if you're looking for a new hobby, it's kind of cool. And there's plenty of meetup groups in New York about it. There's a lot of competitions you can sign up for. I guess this may be not the best piece of advice for someone trying to pursue art, but I think making wine is an art. So
wine,
screw it.
I disagree. I think that alcohol can be a huge advantage. Most
oh yeah. Okay, that's true. But making the wine itself, it's a little time consuming, but I don't know. I think it's a
so basically
it's good
just
for you.
Just Google wine making. There's quality wine and ale supply at homebrewit.com. Mm-hmm. Homebrewit.com. They get a free plug.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Do you have any final words of wisdom, any nuggets of truth that you've found about, you know, this is what, the second year, right?
Yeah.
Down here?
Sure. I don't know. When I was in college and even in high school, I was so just like, I still am. I'm not going to pretend I'm not. I was so bent up on the idea of making it. And just kind of there was a cloud over my brain that sometimes I wasn't even sure what I was making to make it. And I feel like the purest work I've ever done and the work I've been the most proud of came out of moments of clarity as opposed to moments of stress when I was worried about doing something with it. And I don't even know if that's really advice, but I feel like sometimes you have to not worry about the outcome and just worry about the moment. And I am trying to do that more. And I don't know. There's something beautiful about writing a song. And it would be amazing if the world could hear it, but it's still a beautiful moment. And I would just try to capture that as much as you can and just keep doing it. And there's something beautiful about writing a script and having that first idea. And it gets tainted by all the networking later on and the phone calls and the competitions you try to submit it to. But I don't
that's
know,
true.
Just try to realize
as soon
that
as
moment.
You start to...
Yeah, just realize that first moment and just try to hone it and know that like that's why you're doing it. And it's not for anything else. So, yeah, that's not advice, but take it and think about it.
I think it's advice in that, I mean, that's why we're in the game in the first place. It's not... Because we really necessarily want money. Mm-hmm. If I always go into the idea of like, well, if I wanted money, you know, there are so many jobs that you could have and have a decent amount of money. Yeah. Or, you know, people are making like $50,000, $60,000 and they're like, oh, yeah, I make decent money.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
But they're not happy. They're sitting in front of a spreadsheet. So
there's a very easy solution to make money, and one of my teachers told me it, and all it is, if you want to make money one day, just want to make money. That's all you have to do. And you will eventually do it because you will sacrifice and you will get a job that just makes lots of money.
Or you'll find a note on the subway that says, hello, my name is Mr. G.
Yeah. I want to give you $1 million.
I just recently won the Mega 10.
No, it's, you know, it's seriously, it's just like, if you want money, just get a job that makes you money. It's like, you did it. Congratulations. Become like a, I mean, you can get temp jobs where you make $25 an hour even, blah, 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 blah. It's an easy way to do it. If you want to make art, then do that too. Just make art.
Cool. So we're at 30 minutes. So let's, thank you. Very much
you
for helping
me.
With the Starving Artist Guide. I think that we've gleaned a little information and a little truth from your presence here. And I'm going to play a third song from you.
Oh, wow.
A little Max.
Okay.
So stick with us after the break. We will go over some more important tips. Well, you know what? We'll go over how to produce your own CDs. I mentioned CD Baby, but it's a little more difficult than that, and we will do that after the break. All right, this is Max from Sean Keneally.
Peace.
Funny early cat sitting in the corner with the lights on, dim named Max. I'll be your friend if you'll be mine. Come next to me and I'll share some wine with you. Purple moon, hey yellow room, can you read my mind? Hey, yellow room, could you tell a joke? Riding my bike on 36th, there's room for two, lets me and you find a path. Don't mind my cats, they're friendly as can be. One's named Max and the other's named Harley. Sophie, hey yellow room, can you please read my mind? Hey yellow room, I'm feeling just so. Hey yellow room, where does this all go? Hey yellow room, I'm running shirtless again. Responsive but irresponsible. Feeling like I'm such a mess, and I'm reading these pages, these empty pages, and I'm feeling like I am out of breath. Have you seen this pretty girl? She paints the skies with her thoughts and fears. Can you ask if she wants my name? Could you ask if she could be mine? Could you ask if she would be mine? Hey, yellow room, I'm feeling just so. Hey, yellow room, where does this all go? Hey, yellow room, running shirtless again. running shirtless again.
Okay. So that was our interview, the Starving Artist Guide interview, exclusive with Sean Keneally, playwright, screenplay writer, actor even, director, musician. The list goes on and on for this guy. And I just also have the pleasure of being his roommate. And he's a great guy. So if you ever see him or see one of his shows or plays, give him a thumbs up, give him a high five for being an artist down in New York City trying to make it. So, as I said, we're going to go into a little bit about how to make your own CDs, much like I do, much like he plans on doing, and he has done. We're going to go into some of the websites that you can use after you do your professional recording, as he was mentioning. Basically, my philosophy is you got to have your stuff on as many outlets as possible. So you're always going to want to have a compact disc, a CD, a couple of them with you at any given time, just in case you meet someone and they're like, oh, what do you do? I'm a musician or I'm a comedian. You know, you can always give them an example of your work. And that's not necessarily to make profit at first, although eventually it does become that way, you know, once you gain a fan base. But where I've found the most luck actually making money as a musician is actually digital downloads. So we're going to go into a website that you can send them your CD for availability on the internet. And they'll also take your CD, your tracks, and turn them into high-quality MP3s that they sell on Amazon, Rhapsody, iTunes. They'll make any songs that you want into downloadable ringtones. And they send their stuff to about 30 different companies. Some of which, you know, I'm not going to even go into because I don't even know them. But, you know, they'll add your stuff to a subscription base. And the website that I'm talking about here is cdbaby.com or cdbaby.net. And cdbaby.com, you can go and buy independent artists' music. And it's a great thing. A lot of times they'll have $5 sales where you can buy people's full-length CD that you might not have necessarily ever heard of just for $5. And you can get mine from cdbaby.com. Just look up Johnny Sanford. And the ones that I have on there that you can actually buy a physical CD is the Big Nothing album, which I was mentioning earlier, which Sean Keneally co-wrote, and my latest EP, which is called Permutations, which is also available for digital download on iTunes, Amazon, all those companies that I was talking about earlier. And it's great to allow a worldwide audience to get to hear your songs, to get to buy your songs, get to support you. Because, I mean, we've had people buy our CD in the UK, Canada, New Zealand, Australia. So it really opens you up as an independent artist to get your music out and build a fan base. But before you even do that, let's talk about getting your actual CD presentable. What I have is a CD printable printer, which you feed the CD directly into a thingamajig that prints directly onto it. Now, first, you're going to need some type of design that you can just make in Photoshop or, you know, even Paint, Microsoft Paint or whatever. However you do it, you got to have either a picture of you on the on it, a drawing that you did, whatever it is. And then you can print it directly on it. Mine is the Epson R320 actually. And you can get it on Amazon, Google. Google, you can buy it for $100 new. On Amazon, it lists as $500 new. But you can get it on the Amazon used website for $110 is how low I saw it. And I got mine for free. So that was nice. So also you can check Craigslist, as we were mentioning earlier. Craigslist is a great resource for starving artists to not only talk to other artists in the community that you live in, but also to do trades. I've gotten numerous things off. On a completely separate note, I bought an entire snowboard package for about $120. Burton snowboard for $40. Flow, which are the best kind of bindings, for another $40, and some boots for another $40. And there's no tax. So it's a wonderful thing, because that would have been a $500 setup. But I got it for $120. All off Craigslist. So Staples is one of your best friends as a starving artist, because they will set you up with so much media. You know, you're going to need to get blank CDs that are printable. And you can get those at Staples. Just get inkjet CDs. I mean, you might already have this set up the way you want it. There's always, you can get CD labels that you just print it directly through a regular printer and then just stick it on. It's like a sticker that goes directly on. And I use that for a while. It's kind of annoying. It's not as professional looking, and you'll get bubbles. So I don't really recommend that unless you're really strapped for cash, or, you know, you just don't want to invest the time. But if you're not willing to invest the time in presentation, then what's the point? Because you got to be presentable. That's number one. But you can make it look decent. And also remember that when you're don't get too carried away with your demo, like what's on it. You're going to want to write the names of the songs, obviously, and you're going to want to write your contact info. And that includes your email, your cell phone number, and your address. And also say, you know, if you're sending them out to A&R agents or managers, you might want to just say thanks for listening to my CD directly on the CD. You can also get silver bottom CDs, CDRs online. Just look up at blankcdmedia.com. They're printable, and this is for like a really personality A type person who wants it to look as professional as possible by spending the least amount of money. You can get 100 of them for, I think, $30. And they don't have that puke green bottom that just is a direct giveaway that tells people, oh, I am a starving artist that is giving you my CD So just keep the design simple. If you're sending it out to clubs, you might just want to keep it as basic as possible. So there's a few more other things. For my printer, per se, it costs about $80 to refill the ink just to get new ink cartridges. And what I found is I don't have that kind of money. So I have – there's two solutions to that problem. You can go on eBay and look up ink cartridges for your model of printer. And you'll get kind of knockoff ink. And I got one off eBay, and it was really good, actually. It was a great investment. It was $10 plus like $10 shipping because it was from Canada. But even cheaper, you can go down to your local Staples, as I was already mentioning, and it's a great store, and get ink refills. Now, this is a really tedious process because you have to drill in, follow the instructions very carefully. You have to drill into the top of your ink cartridges and use one of this ink syringe that they supply and refill it manually. And then you just put a little plug on it for $30 for both color and black ink. You get to refill your ink cartridges 6 times. So it really is a good value. However, when I did it, the first time you do it, you're going to get ink all over the place. It's almost unavoidable. Plus, I had to go and get this cartridge resetter off the internet because they don't have that at Staples. And reset it completely because Epson doesn't want you to be doing that because obviously they want a monopoly on the market. So just if you have either an Epson or what was the other one? A Canon inkjet printer, CD inkjet printer, you are going to have to go online. And the little inkjet chip resetter cost about $8, but hopefully it will pan out in the long run, and I will get a good value out of it. Sometimes it takes more effort and more internet use to maintain your starving artist values. So, there's one final way to do the old make your own CD solution, and that is to use discmakers.com, DICMAKERS, Discmakers, and they're a great company. I've never used them, but they are very professional. They will set up, they'll print you like 1,000 CDs for $1,400 if you have that kind of money to burn. If you don't, then you're going to have to try one of these other ways. The beautiful thing is, then you have 1,400 CD or 1,000 CDs ready in 3 weeks. However, you got to make sure that you have a very professional recording that you are completely happy with. Otherwise, you know, if you leave one little wrong note, you're going to hate yourself for it if you are a perfectionist such as myself. But you got to do what you got to do. So, like I said, my recommendation would be CD Baby, because for $35, they will set you up on all those digital download sites that I already mentioned, which I really think is the future because it's 10 times easier to buy an independent artist online than it is to browse your local Tower Records. And eventually, I mean, I guess I use that as a intentional. There are no Tower Records anymore. And I know that in New York City, Virgin Megastores are going out of business. So eventually it's just going to be, there are going to be no record stores, I think. Is it a good thing? No. Definitely not. And I don't want the Walmarts of the world to be in charge of our music. But it definitely looks like it's the, for independent artists to get out there online is the best option. So that's my advice on making your own CDs. It's a really helpful thing to have a professional looking CD when you go into any club, when you're trying to get an agent or manager to look at your stuff. So this concludes the second episode of the Starving Artist Guide podcast. Let's let Muse take it away. All right. See you guys next week.
Thank you, Lovely. We love you. 6 months.